those of us that are in TA that love it, then we're the crazy people that love it. But people in the field don't really want to be in TA. They do it out of necessity because you're not actually supporting them appropriately. So recognizing that and being able to come in and say, hey, you know, what you're doing is obviously not working. So let's think about it in a different way. But then there's a lot that they have to trust. So you have to get some small wins pretty quickly so that people understand that you're not just talking, but you actually do know what you're talking about.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Jessica Manucci. Jessica is the Senior Director of Talent Acquisition at TruGreen. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah,
excited to be here.
I'm excited for our conversation today. Let's get started a little bit. Just share a little high level quickly around your background, how you got started in TA, maybe a little bit about some of the roles that you've held leading up to your current role.
Yeah, I have been in the TA and HR space for about 18 years. Started in staffing, actually doing like light industrial, CDL drivers, for a little staffing company and on the west side of Jacksonville. After that, I went to work for the PGA Tour at TPC Sawgrass and oversaw all of the HR functions there. It's a pretty exciting time. I was there for about 5.5 years, during which time we opened the new clubhouse there. It's a pretty exciting time to be there.
Yeah, I think that's probably a dream job for a lot of people. It sounds pretty great.
It definitely was. A lot of good advantages to working there. My husband was quite sad when I left. After that, I went to work for APR Energy, which is a smaller energy company in Jacksonville. That was my first true talent acquisition role. It's a company that was building power plants in other countries. They do temporary power. And so that was really where something clicked in my brain, where I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. I really was a self-taught recruiter, and the thrill of having to find people and sell them on this opportunity was very exciting to me. So I did that for a couple of years. And then my husband's job actually moved us to Charlotte, and I took a role with Republic Services. That's the second largest waste management company in the US. I started there as a regional recruiter and then worked my way up to a talent acquisition manager overseeing the call centers. And then eventually took a senior manager of talent acquisition role overseeing all of the field recruiting for the whole country. Moved my family out to Phoenix, Arizona with that move and did that for about 3 years until TruGreen actually came and found me in May of 2021, sold me on a great opportunity. I was ready to move into a director role and took that opportunity with them. And actually, they told me I could live wherever I wanted. So moved my family back to Florida, where I had lived many years ago, and been with TruGreen for about 2.5 years.
Oh, that's great. Great background. Yeah. Lots of like diverse experience, which is excellent. And let's talk a little bit, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about True Green, the business. Most people probably recognize it, but there might be some that don't. So a little bit about True Green and the business, as well as your team and kind of the scope of your role, number of hires, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So True Green is $1.5 billion business based out of Memphis, Tennessee, but we have locations across the US and in Canada. And really, we do lawn care, not like landscaping, but actually like keeping your lawn green, those kinds of things, really making your lawn look nice and making your home a more enjoyable place to be. And my team at True Green is, right now, I have about 106 regular full-time recruiters, and this is our busy time of the year. So I have, as of this morning, I think about another 136 that are contractors. So altogether, is that about 240 right now? Something like that. So we are a seasonal business. We are extremely busy from about January through May in the recruiting space. In 2022, we hired about 24,000 people. 2023, we did a little over 17,000 and probably on track to do right around that same number this year. So we start off recruiting with our sales team and call centers, customer service. Inside sales roles are very big for the first few months. And then we move into our production roles, which are the people that are actually out there doing the lawn care and keeps us very busy.
Yeah, I would imagine from basically today through May, you and your team are extremely busy. That's a lot of hires in a short period of time. So a lot of volume running through your process, all sorts of interesting opportunities for you and your team to add value for the organization, I'm sure. Yeah, let's chat a little bit. So you've been there a couple of years. And so since 2021, when you joined, if you wouldn't mind, share a little bit about maybe some of the initiatives that you and your team have led, some of the improvements that you're proud of, any of those types of things that you'd be willing to share with the audience.
Yeah, I feel like when I came in, there were a lot of things that were broken, for lack of a better word. We were just coming out of a pandemic. So I think a lot of things changed during that time. There had been a lot of technology in our space that really was set up in a way that I probably wouldn't have set it up that way. So coming in, it was, how do we get our workflow to all kind of talk to each other and flow together, when it seemed to be a very kind of broken process? The team that I had when I first came in really weren't proactively recruiting. They were more just setting up interviews, right? So they weren't doing a lot of sourcing or any sourcing, really. They weren't working out of our ATS. They were primarily working out of our CRM and really just calling and setting up interviews. And they were being incentivized based on how many interviews they were setting up at the time, which I was a little like, why are we doing this? How do we know if we're actually hiring any of these people? And is this the right thing to be incentivizing people on? And so one of my first things when I walked in was, let's assess the team and what they can do. Let's look at our technology and try to see what things we can fix there as far as our processes. We had a very high turnover at that time in the field. We were losing a lot of people. We were losing a lot of people just through them not showing for the first day or not showing for interviews, those kinds of things. In my mind, I was like, we need to take TA back from the field leaders, and they centralize this for a reason. So let's really own talent acquisition and what that means. And part of that, I think, was setting the right tone, making sure people understood what's the difference between recruiting and talent acquisition. So letting people know there is actually a plan here. It's not, talent acquisition is much more strategic and much more thought behind it. And let's build the relationships. Let's make sure that we're finding quality candidates and that we're actually going after these people versus just sitting here waiting for them to apply to us. A lot of things I needed to change as far as what the strategy was, and then making sure we communicated that so that everyone was on the same page, making sure that we built the relationships we needed to, got the buy-in that we needed to. And then the most important thing is deliver on it. You can't just talk and not give any results. So we definitely were able to get staff that first year that I was there, which was absolutely amazing, but was kind of a weird year and we spent a lot of money doing it. So then the next year it was, okay, how do we hone this process in and get staffed again, but do it for a little less money, right? Which we did, which was great. And so it's just that year over year, how do we keep improving? How do we keep doing things, looking at it more from a long-term lens?
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like you made a lot of very strategic changes in the organization. If you wouldn't mind, let's dive a little bit into the change that occurred. So when you arrived, it sounds like there was a team in place, but a lot of it was led by operationally by the field kind of thing. And so your TA folks were posting requisitions, scheduling interviews and things, but the strategic direction was field-led more so than a centralized TA function?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. So prior, several years ago, before they actually consolidated talent acquisition into a center of excellence, there really was just the branches were taking care of their own recruiting. That's how it had always been done. And I think there was this thought that let's centralize it, make sure that it's consistent. There's a lot of reasons you would want to do that from compliance purposes and making sure that we're fully staffing people and doing it appropriately and all of that. So that's what had happened several years before I got there. And then several different things had been employed each year, none with much success, right? Like each year they were like, well, let's do it this way. Let's try this. And I don't know of any year that they really were like, oh, this worked really well. So I think when they came and recruited me, they were looking for someone that had worked in a large national company, you know, in a matrix environment that had handled this type of volume, which at Republic was not this type of volume for me, really, but good enough that I could take what I knew and apply it.
Yeah, that your strategy could scale to this level. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of challenges did you face? Obviously, it's an easier thought process to say, let's take it from field delivery to a centralized function. Anyone who's ever led that type of transformation knows that that is not an easy change to make, even though the strategy can be fairly obvious for some of the benefits. What challenges did you face? And I guess how easy or hard was that transition from field to a truly strategic center of excellence that you and your team were leading talent acquisition versus just providing administrative services?
Yeah, I think when I first came in, they were feeling quite a bit of pain, right, from not being staffed. And it was very obvious that they needed something different to happen. So I had that as an advantage because nobody wants to be in TA unless they're actually in TA. And those of us that are in TA that love it, then we're the crazy people that love it. But people in the field don't really want to be in TA. They do it out of necessity because you're not actually supporting them appropriately. So recognizing that and being able to come in and say, hey, you know, what you're doing is obviously not working. So let's think about it in a different way. And being able to have those conversations about, let me help you, let me make your life easier. But then there's a lot that they have to trust. They have to trust you. So you have to get some small wins pretty quickly so that people understand that you're not just talking, but you actually do know what you're talking about and that you are going to make their lives easier. I definitely had some hard conversations in the beginning. I remember I still laugh about this with our one sales regional director. He was very resistant and he was like, you can say whatever you want, but I don't really believe what you're saying because we've been burned too many times and I'm just going to handle my own stuff. But after that first year, he was like, I'm a believer. Totally wrong. He was so happy with what we provided to him. And now you're going to handle this, right? Yeah, we are.
That's great. So, I mean, it's really great to hear that story. And I think that will resonate with a lot of the audience. Having spent my entire professional career in talent acquisition as well and leading lots of those types of transformations, it's really difficult. And it's TA is a unique space where everybody thinks they know everything about TA, but nobody's really an expert. They like to tell you how to do it. But as you lead these transformations,
that letting go and building trust and actually delivering results and getting that internal credibility and the confidence of the organization behind you to actually lead the change that needs to happen to deliver the business value that you can and unlock that. I can't tell you how many people I talk with that are just stuck in that churn of, I see what we need to do, but I can't get there. I can't overcome these trust issues, or I can't get the investment I need to do this because the organization has been burned and doesn't believe me or doesn't trust. And so, yeah, that element of creating small wins, delivering the results, and switching them from skeptics to, ooh, I want more of that. That's really critical. So kudos to you and your team for being able to execute through that. And I know the job is never done, but that mindset shift is really hard.
TA is a very much a what have you done for me lately space, right? And when you're good and you're on and you're doing, then they love you, but it can really change quickly. It really can. So I really encourage my team to get in front of conversations with people. The worst thing you can do is not communicate, right? Like I always say, over-communicate. Tell people what you're going to do and then deliver on it. But if for some reason you're not going to deliver on it, let them know ahead of time. People are much more willing to work with you when you just let them know what's going on. And yes, that's something I tell my kids. It's an everyday thing. Just be credible. Tell people what you're going to do. And then if you can't make it happen, just let them know, because people are willing to wait. And especially if you say, going to be worth the wait. Like, I know I told you Tuesday, it's probably going to be Wednesday or Thursday, but I promise it's going to get delivered. But when they hear nothing, then they assume you're not doing anything, right?
Always assume the worst. Absolutely. Always assume the worst. And yeah, it's such a simple practice that is so critical in TA, and it's amazing how few people do it. And so, yeah, it was just like setting clear expectations, working to deliver, transparent, honest communication, partnership, like those types of elements are really critical to that success. And yeah, just trusting them to read a status update or just assume that you're doing what you're doing will result in failure. So you have to communicate and bring people along and set those expectations. The last thing before we move forward into kind of future looking things is you had mentioned talking a little bit about your viewpoint and your team's viewpoint of the kind of what recruiting versus talent acquisition or previous delivery versus your vision for what you were trying to create there. How did you communicate that? Or what were some of the key principles in that you and your team communicate to these hiring leaders that here's what we were doing before versus here's what will be different?
Yeah, I put together a PowerPoint and it was literally like, this is what TA is and this is what recruiting is, right? And these are the changes we're making. This is what you had previously. This was what the process was. This is what the process will be moving forward. These are the things we're enhancing and improving. So really just laying it out like that. These are the things you can expect from us. And me telling the leadership team that, but then also having my recruiters and my managers all understand what that vision was and understand what the differences were and everyone getting on the same page so that they could clearly communicate that as well. I don't have a lot of conversations with our field leaders at the branch level, right? I have to really rely on my team to be able to communicate that and communicate it effectively. So really, it's important to not just have leadership understand what the vision is, but to be able to articulate that to your team and to make sure that they feel empowered, make sure that they know that everyone's on the same page. And I tell my team all the time, you are the most important people that work at this company. You are make or break. It is crucial for us. Staffing is such a huge thing here. If we don't have the people, we don't have the company, right?
So you can't deliver your services.
You can't. And so they need to feel that and they need to understand how crucial their role is. And they're hiring the people that are dealing with our customers. We have to take that seriously. Like, it's extremely important. So just making sure that the team understands that and understands how appreciated they are and really letting them feel empowered to make decisions and to drive change and to look at things differently. I don't think that was really done a lot before. I think they were told, like, this is your role. You're supposed to set appointments, but I want them to know how to do everything. I want people to feel like they have opportunities to move up within TA. And I want my managers to want to take my job eventually. So I think having those things in place where people can develop and where they can continue to learn, and especially things they're interested in, you know, and off season, giving them projects and different things that they can feel like they are a part of creating the change also. It's awesome. Because for me, I don't have time to do all the things I want to do. So I love using my team. If they're interested in something, I'm like, let's run with that.
Yeah, I'm sure your team values that. It's really impressive to go through that change and have everyone working off of core messaging and about what's different and setting those expectations and realizing how they're adding that much strategic business value to the organization is really important. That's great. Did an excellent job. So looking forward now, so as we start out here in 2024 and looking forward, obviously you're in your busy season right now, so delivery is really paramount. But beyond that, like what types of things on the horizon for you and your team? What's next? What kind of initiatives do you have?
I really want to continue to build our employer brand. That's something we kicked off last year, and I want to continue to build our presence on social media. So obviously your marketing brand is one thing, your company brand, we have this True Green Live Life Outside, and we wanted to create something that was just for employees and for candidates. And so we came up with Be True, and it's be true to your values, be true to your customers, be true. You can adapt it to several different things, but that's our employer brand. And we kicked that off last year. I want to continue to build our presence in the marketplace. We really want to be an employer of choice. And I feel like there's a lot we can continue to do on social media, get that word out there. So that's one of my big initiatives this year. There's still more we're trying to do as far as like improving our tech stack and our candidate experience. I feel like there's still a lot we're working on as far as upskilling the team for sourcing in different areas. So that's something we're continuing to work on. And then working on our reporting capabilities as well. I feel like really we've done so much to improve. I want to be able to show that in some kind of meaningful way. So being able to report on key KPIs for my team is really important. And we've been really working on improving like how we're able to pull data and what we're able to pull. So that's really important as well, because I want to make sure that we're showing, look, all of the things we've done are working. So
great. No, those are some exciting initiatives, a lot of good value. And I know, just like you talked about before, it's all about too, like, how can you continue to create efficiency and scalability and deliver increased value at lower cost and those types of things. And those are a lot of pressures in that, but thinking about what's the value prop for candidates and how do you communicate that message in the marketplace and things, those are all critical. So yeah, thank you for sharing those. Those are great initiatives to continue to add more value. Last question I would have for you is, and you've shared a lot of this advice already through our discussion, but what's some advice that you would provide for others in the audience? Most of our audience are TA professionals, whether they're individual contributors or people leaders or executives or folks that are interested in TA as a potential profession. And so what's some advice that you would like to share with the audience?
I would say talent acquisition is a non-revenue generating department, right? And we already said it's always one of those, what have you done for me lately? I would say always think about what is the value that you're bringing? What is the value that you can create? What is your personal brand? What is it that you're wanting to convey? And don't be afraid to tell people what you're doing. It doesn't come off as like braggy. A lot of times, especially if you work in a large organization, people may not know what you're working on, right? So it's okay to over communicate and tell people like, these are the things that we're working on, and these are the initiatives, or these are the results that we're bringing, because people may not know. If you're not bringing in profits for the business, that may not be on their radar, right? So I think you always have to be thinking, what is the value I'm bringing? What is the value I'm creating for myself and for my team? And how can I keep us visible? And what more can I be doing to create value for the organization? And how can I keep bringing in the best candidates and the best quality. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic advice. And yeah, it's all about value creation and how do you create value for the organization. I love to talk about personal branding is how do you want to show up in the organization? How do you want to be perceived? And focusing on creating value for the organization. I think HR, unfortunately, and TA gets lumped under HR all the time, can have a reputation of HR for HR's sake, and people can hate HR. And the reason that happens in a lot of organizations is they tend to get away from that thought process of like, how are we creating business value? How are we creating value for this organization? So I love to hear you say that. And I love that you shared that with the audience. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, Jessica, it has been really fun talking with you as always. And I appreciate your willingness to come and join me on the show and have a great day. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.